for cultivating progress across the South, for working to unconditionally improve the lives of all, and for the bold underwriting of every Gravy podcast. SFA thanks our visionary Louisville, Kentucky friends, Pam and Brooke Smith.
In this episode of Gravy, you get to meet Chef Frenay McPherson. Here at SFA, we've known Frenay since about 2013 when SFA's oral historian, Amy Evans, interviewed her as a part of our Women at Work in San Francisco Oral History Project. Frenay was named a Smith Fellow in 2019 and in 2022 was a part of the team from La Cocina who cooked at the Fall Symposium. So when Sarah Jesse, who lives in the Bay Area, pitched us a podcast story about Frenay, we couldn't say yes fast enough. Frenay McPherson's family came to San Francisco's Fillmore District from Texas in the 1960s as a part of the second wave of the Great Migration that brought African Americans from the South to cities across the U.S. When those families migrated, their recipes did too. When her restaurant, Minnie Bell's Soul Movement, opened a new location in the Fillmore this past spring, Frenay and her food finally got a chance to come home. I'm Melissa Hall, your host for Gravy.
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 A production of the Southern Foodways Alliance, Gravy tells the stories of the changing American South. Sarah Jesse has the story.
In April 2024, Minnie Bell's Soul Movement opened to fanfare in the city's Fillmore District. According to the San Francisco Chronicle, they make some of the best fried chicken in San Francisco. It was a true celebration. Balloons everywhere, and 70s and 80s hits like Coolin' the Gang thumping from giant speakers. The party spilled out onto the sidewalk where Chef Frenay McPherson, Minnie Bell's founder, was surrounded by family, friends, and fans of her food.
What's your favorite thing on the menu?
Oh, the fried chicken.
This is delicious. I'm having a two-piece right now.
When you get a recipe from your grandmother, it's not better than that.
Those fans have followed Frenay from her first food truck in 2013 to her pop-up in an East Bay food court, and now to a brick-and-mortar restaurant in San Francisco's Fillmore District, the neighborhood she's always called home.
When they say you have to know where you come from to know where you're going, you know? And so Frenay wanted to highlight that. When you walk in the door, again, it shows where we've come from and what we're trying to rebuild.
That's Erica Scott, who grew up with Frenay here in the Fillmore. Erica says that even before she opened the restaurant, Frenay found ways to feed the Fillmore. Erica recalls a time when she was organizing volunteers at a local community center.
So I said, hey, Frenay, you want to come cook for us?
She did. And she's been feeding everyone lucky enough to try her food ever since.
May we say, welcome home, Chef Frenay.
Welcome home, Chef Frenay.
But even though Frenay was grating cheese and stirring batter from a very young age, it took her some time to feel at home in her restaurant kitchen. A part of that is just how fickle cooking professionally can be. Taking that entrepreneurial leap can be hard, especially because Frenay went through that shift a bit later in her life after holding other jobs that outwardly seemed solid and steady, like the job Frenay had driving a bus route in San Francisco.
And she'd be going up and down the street driving the 38. And I said, there's Frenay.
That's Frenay's father, Darnay McPherson, who also grew up here in the Fillmore.
But she wanted to cook. Well, being a parent, I don't care what they do, you're going to always be nervous, you know, to hope they succeed.
Because starting a restaurant is hard and expensive. But for Frenay, it's also a connection back to her family.
Your version of soul food resonates to you in your family. Because I don't think it comes without family. right? I don't think it comes without family at all.
Fernay started her first restaurant in the midst of a Southern food craze in San Francisco. Back then, the Bay Area food scene wasn't so quick to recognize chefs like her, home cooks who had sharpened their skills to restaurant-level quality.
It was a white male-dominated field, you know, very much so. And all the write-ups were going to these fancy white restaurants.
Think foams, essences, and teeny tiny bites. Highly engineered foods with big flavors.
People were trying to elevate soul food and make it like fine dining. And I was trying to find my niche in that, you know, in that area where it's like, oh, I have to do something different with macaroni and cheese and elevate it to this level and make it little on a big plate with some type of sauce and pretty. And I definitely was trying that. And then I was like, why? Why am I doing that?
Fernay learned how to cook from her great aunt and grandmother, Minnie and Lilybelle, respectively.
Because I know what it tasted like when my grandmother made it. I know what it tasted like when my aunt or my mom made it. And I know, okay, I need to recreate that flavor.
Those women are the namesakes of Minnie Bell's, and they've always been her inspiration. Their portraits loom large on the walls of her restaurant.
I needed to have them, you know, like I needed to be able to walk into this space and look at them. When I'm having a hard day, look back up at this wall because this will be my strength.
And it made her realize a lot of cooking is passed on by word of mouth and demonstrated by skilled hands and eagle eyes. She remembers how her grandmother taught her to get the pie crust just right.
I remember making pie crust with her, and the recipe said cold water. And I went to the faucet to turn on the cold water, and she was like, no, cold water comes out the refrigerator. And I was like, okay, cold water. So that stuck with me forever.
So she found a way to get back to her roots of cooking more intuitively. She joined La Cocina back in 2011, a culinary incubator for women who want to open their own restaurants.
And I was in a kitchen with a bunch of different women that were doing what they do.
All those women working to start food businesses were creating absolutely delicious meals.
Now, this is not the meals that the customers would see. This is meals that the prep cooks, the line cooks would make that would be so amazing, but you didn't see it in restaurants.
A key ingredient in her peers' recipes was their culture, their lineage, their own family histories. In fact, another La Cocina success story, El Buen Comer, serves up huarache, enchiladas, and tortas, all from home cooking recipes. To Fernay, these family meals were the best kind of home cooking, the type that takes its cooks and its eaters back to their childhood kitchens.
Plate looks amazing. Thank you, chef.
When she nailed the recipe for her signature rosemary fried chicken and her pop-up location started to feel a bit more permanent, Fernay realized she didn't have to elevate anything.
People were trying to fit in to be able to get that exposure that was really privileged exposure. To whereas now, people are getting recognized for things that they do, that they are authentic to, and it doesn't have to be so bougie. Just good food.
After the break, we'll learn how businesses like Fernay's are building on the Fillmore's history and shaping its future. But first,
Maker's Mark bourbon is aged to taste in Loretto, Kentucky. The Samuels family uses locally grown soft red winter wheat and sources water from a lake on the distillery's campus. Every Maker's Mark label is printed and die-cut by hand on an antique press, and each bottle is hand-dipped in their signature red wax. All the details matter when distilling quality bourbon. Since Maker's Mark sold its first case of bourbon to the Keeneland Racecourse in Lexington, they have perfected the craft of distilling American whiskey. For their dedication to making great bourbon and for their support of the Southern Foodways Alliance, we thank them. Maker's Mark crafts their bourbon carefully. Please enjoy it that way.
Frenay's restaurant is a part of San Francisco history and a part of her personal family history, too. Let's get back to her story.
Between 1935 and 1945, the Black population in San Francisco grew by 600%. The growth continued until urban renewal brought it to a halt, just as Frenay's family was settling in the area.
There were like flyers sent out to the South saying that there was work at the port here in San Francisco. And my great-grandfather moved his family to San Francisco.
Frenay's grandmother and mother also migrated from Texas to the Fillmore as a part of the Second Great Migration.
When she migrated on the train, my grandmother made fried chicken and pound cake for their ride. It's so many connections to feeling good and feeling that comfort and eating good Southern food.
Beginning in the 60s, the San Francisco Planning and Housing Association bulldozed entire sections of the Fillmore, taking parts of the neighborhood's vibrant, close-knit community along with it.
When you walk up and down the street now, you don't see anything that resonates to African-American culture or community.
Oh, no, they used to call it the Fillmore, and I call it the No More. But as things, you know, things are kind of coming along pretty well right now, so I figured maybe another couple of years it might be some more. So you go from the feel more to no more to some more, hopefully.
That's from a PBS documentary back in 2001. Clearly, the Fillmore has been through a lot, and it's been through even more since that documentary was made. With Minnie Bell's return to the neighborhood, Frenay and her father want to finally see a long-promised renaissance here.
We're right here in front of my daughter's restaurant on Fillmore and Eddie, in front of Minnie Bell's.
Frenay's restaurant stands on a block of Fillmore Street that's still in flux and has been for a long time. On one block, there's the James Beard Award-winning restaurant State Bird Provisions, and on the next, the multi-million-dollar Fillmore Heritage Center that was shuttered in 2019. When it first opened in 2007, the Heritage Center was a sign of hope. The idea was to celebrate the neighborhood's Black history and culture and fill the gaping hole left in the neighborhood after redevelopment. Original tenants included Yoshi's, a world-renowned jazz club, and 1300 Fillmore, a restaurant that hosted a rotating cast of movers and shakers. Many of the Heritage Center's tenants had financial struggles, including bankruptcy, that caused it to close twice. It's one example of just how hard it can be to truly bring back a neighborhood where the buildings, including family homes, were razed.
I remember all the lights, all the barbecue places, and like everything's different now.
Darnay, Frenay's father, remembers how the Fillmore used to be.
Well, over here, you had the Booker T. Washington Hotel. It was a big white building, and that's where mostly all the celebrities went, like Willie Mays and the Giants or 49ers.
Darnay says he remembers Wilt Chamberlain, the basketball player, driving up and down the streets in his Rolls, two Great Danes perched in the back seat. Imagine three separate movie theaters all screening different specialties. Imagine slipping into one of the many restaurants along Fillmore to grab a couple of dimes for your movie fare.
So you can just walk in a restaurant, somebody in your family might work there, your aunt, get 30 cents and go to the movies. You know, you knew everybody. Everybody knew who you were.
Imagine the most low-key motorcycle club you can, the Rattlers, all slither and no bite.
And then you had right over there, you had the Rattlers Motorcycle Club. They used to wear green and gold jackets and all of them on motorcycles. And they wasn't a violent group. They were just a community motorcycle club. Like I say, my hope is I hope my daughter started something where other people come down and open up restaurants. So that's my hope, to see the Fillmore have more activity.
San Francisco's current mayor is London Breed. Like Frenay, she grew up in the Fillmore. In 2021, she announced $3.75 million in funding for local Black-owned businesses across the city, like a Black-led designer marketplace on the corner of Fillmore and Geary. Even the shuttered Heritage Center is slated to reopen this fall with an additional funding boost. The hope is that by reinvesting in the people who know their community best, they can breathe new life into it.
People that are still here and that come back here want to have that connection here, but be in a space where this was once home for you, where it was once home for your grandparents, your parents, your aunts, uncles, whatever family. It's just bringing it full circle.
And that's Frenay's whole reason for wanting to be in the Fillmore, to give the gift of feeling at home, even if folks grew up elsewhere.
It's that migration, you know, it's that great migration that happened when, in the 60s, when folks were migrating from all parts of the South, coming to California for work. All those flavors carry.
And it's definitely not just Black diners who connect with her food.
I did a dinner, and I'm not sure, you know, where this man was from, but he said to me, he said, that was so good. He said, I felt like I was sitting at my grandmother's kitchen. And I was like, wow. I said, and that's what I want people to get. But his food wasn't the same food, but he felt the comfort from the food that he felt when he sat at his grandmother's table.
Just like her own great aunt and grandmother who taught her, Frenay wants to deliver comfort and joy. But she also has a strong will to keep challenging herself as a chef.
Aunt Minnie, she said to me one day, she said, you are getting better and better. That's it for me. That's all the validation that I need.
For Gravy, I'm Sarah Jesse.
Sarah Jesse is a strategist and storyteller who's loved audio and radio specifically as long as she can remember. After studying radio documentary at the Salt Institute, she contributed to Snap Judgment and WVTF News before bringing her storytelling skills to the marketing world. She's happy to be back where she feels she belongs, the public radio community. A version of this story previously aired on KALW's Cross Currents. We thank Wendell Patrick for Gravy's theme music. We also owe a huge thank you to Clay Jones and Broadcast Studios in Oxford, Mississippi for recording and mixing Gravy. Managing editor for Gravy and all other SFA media is Sarah Camp Milam. Olivia Terenzio is our podcast editor. Fact-checking comes courtesy of Heather Cole. Mary Beth Lassiter is our publisher. Visit us at southernfoodways.org to sign up for our weekly newsletter and maybe take a deep dive into all of our work. While you're there, become a member or make a donation. Your dollars fund our work and help us make more gravy. Excited to lap up another episode? Tell a friend. Pass the gravy boat. There is plenty to go around.